Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 208 in the middle of the storm of the century. No, it's not. You're supposed to get like four to eight inches between 4 and 7 tonight. And yeah, nothing came.
Jinxed it. It's all going to happen now.
Oh, great. Let's go.
I looked at the forecast until after midnight.
Oh, okay.
Let it all hang out.
Is when we're gonna get pommeled.
Okay.
Pommeled. That's fine. As long as I can get home.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna run till after midnight.
Yeah. The time killer is not here. Yeah. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Pat,
Dave,
and Adam is with his dog. His ill dog. So.
Feel better soon, Chauncey. What?
Nothing. Just that was. I don't think he's listening.
No.
I don't know if he's a regular listener.
He might. Podcasting tonight.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys dropped something better. Like, what was the last week? Pity the Thule.
Yeah, Pity the Thule.
That was a good one. Just
plays
by
it your quote, actually?
No, I don't know what it was.
I said Pity the Thule. And the week before that was Wookiee on Wookiee action.
Yeah. It was a little risky, but I had to get rid of the hot. But
if it's not hot Wookiee on Wookiee action, what's the point?
If it's nasty, that's okay. But if it's hot, that takes it over the line.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh. Okay, Pat, what do you got for us?
There's a couple things.
Pat's news.
So, in a move that surprised nobody, Deadpool 2 has already been greenlit. So,
I mean, there was story elements they couldn't fit into the first one? Holy cow.
Yeah. I don't know. And I've read a few reviews of it, and they've all been positive, mm-hmm. which is good. And apparently the after credit scene is really, really good. But everybody has been very clear on this. This is not a movie you take your kids to.
I hate after credit scenes.
Why?
After credit scenes were fun when they were like an unknown thing. But now that it's so overdone, now you're going to make me sit here a little. I know it's there. You know I know it's there. It's a common thing. Seriously, make me sit through 3 minutes of credits?
Or you wait a couple days and wait for it to get on YouTube.
I had to do that with Iron Man 1.
Oh, with the...
Yeah, because I didn't realize there was one, and I wanted to stay just in case, and the girl was dating at the time, when he's in the restroom, so she was like, come on, let's go. And I wasn't sure there was one, so I didn't fight it. I didn't say, well, I'll just stay here. You go ahead and go. So
you
I got
broke
up, and
up the next day. Sam, Miss Samuel L. Jackson is Nick Fury. So, like, that's it?
I had to look on YouTube, and it was some crappy camera phone shot. And that was like flip phone camera phone. It was awful. I'm pissed.
I'd rather would have seen the Avengers one that way.
Oh, the Swarma one?
Mm-hmm.
That one pissed me off.
That
one I love
really
that
pissed
one.
Me off.
No.
Okay, let me put it...
After 10 minutes of credits for that...
I thought it was funny.
Let's put it this way. You went to the midnight showing. It's now 3:30 in the morning. You're sitting there waiting for the end scene, and all of a sudden it's them sitting eating. You're like, seriously?
Well, you decided to go to the midnight showing. Yeah. That's your fault.
That was the last one, too. That was the last one I will ever do.
There's no... I can't think of a single franchise that would get me to go see a midnight showing.
Now.
I don't think I've ever been...
Okay.
But
see,
remember,
I saw Phantom Menace at midnight. When that first came out, but again, I was 22 in college, and, you know, I had nothing else to do anyway, so.
Yeah, I don't think, I did see one movie as a midnight showing, and it was the worst possible movie you could have picked for a midnight showing.
Schindler's List.
Return of the King.
So at 8 a.m. when it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an awful decision, because not only are those movies long to begin with, but that one had like 7 endings.
Yeah, I did too. I saw that.
Okay.
Because I
there was some. Yeah, it was like so many fit.
Because I think
so
what year did that come out? Roughly
2003.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, yeah. So I would have been like right tail end of college, I guess, or maybe right after college. Because I remember I went with friends from college that wanted to go to the midnight show, and I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. and I was struggling at the end.
I fell asleep. I tried watching the first one probably 4 times, and I fell asleep every time I tried to watch it. I saw the second one. I liked it fine, but not enough to go see the third one. It's like, whatever.
I actually like the third one the least out of the three. And I hear a lot of people say they love the third one, but out of the three, I think
that's
it's
the one that won all the awards.
Yeah. Like the scene with all the ghosts or spirits or whatever, mm-hmm. I felt didn't look that great. It kind of took me out of it.
I just can't sit through movies that long anymore. I didn't even see The Hobbit, any of The Hobbit movies.
They're not as long as the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
Like, I could sit through the Blu-rays, the extended Blu-rays, which are super long, just at midnight. Any movie at midnight, to me, is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Going to a crowd of people in a theater at midnight, but then that movie...
Dark, you're tired.
But... Yeah, the ending, the shawarma scene.
Don't want shawarma.
The shawarma scene was funny. I enjoyed seeing
funny if it wasn't after 20 minutes of... Well, I mean, it was eight minutes of credits.
It was a long... No, it was longer than that.
Yeah, it was a long time, and I cursed very
loudly.
Well,
you got like a halfway point.
It had like...
Yeah, you had the Thanos thing. And the funniest thing about that is I remember sitting there and I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh my God, that... And people were... Who's that purple guy? And it's like, okay. Civilians.
Civilians, nice pat.
Like they gave you something halfway through that would get you super excited.
Yeah.
And then something at the end that you're like, eh.
I think it would have worked better the other way around, though.
Probably, yeah, I could see that. We're halfway through, you got the funny one. But then if you waited the whole time, you got the one that would really get you to
nerd out.
Yeah,
the one
out.
That bit yeah. into the, yeah. Because that's the thing. It was like the scene with Thanos kind of set up what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then you get the shawarma scene at the end. It's like, the hell? They did the same
thing. And you're supposed to remember half an hour ago in the movie when he mentioned he saw a shawarma place before all the credits
yeah.
and everything.
Well, and they did the same Thor, where they had the beast at the very end. And I forget what the mid-credit scene. The mid-credit
them
scene
kissing
the,
or something.
No, the mid-credit scene was the... the Collector.
Yeah.
Which, again, makes sense. You're setting up the next movie. Mm.
But the thing with, like, the beast dog things, I loved it because my brother and I saw it, and there are these two old women in the theater, and they, like, one of them said something during that scene, that end credit scene, and they just started cracking up. So, to me, like, the scene was great because it made these two old ladies that are in the movie theater
start cracking up.
So, it was very effective. Because then we cracked up because they're cracking up and it worked. Gotcha. I don't know. I appreciate the end scene that's not what you expect. That shouldn't that the one that I see that where I'm not like that should have been a scene at the end of the movie, like where it's something
yeah.
off the wall that they decided to do.
I get that. Anyway, moving on. Van Jensen
already?
Is leaving.
Keep going. Don't worry.
He's playing card games on his phone already.
Van Jensen announced that he is leaving Flash.
Which everybody said, who?
But
aww.
There's...
He's been on Green Lantern Lantern for quite a while before that.
But they haven't said anything about Venditti.
I hope that Venditti is still around in some capacity after...
Rebirth.
Yeah, because I like him as a writer quite a bit. He, mm-hmm. He does Exo Manowar for Valiant, which has been great, and he's struggled a little bit to find his footing with Green Lantern. But I've liked, you know, the stories told.
Easy, Dave. Jeez, maybe you're not allowed to get sit in the red chair. Gonna trash the place,
man.
Knocking down all the build a Deadpools.
Last time I sit here,
F those things sorry. Anyway.
I didn't think you'd get someone that was more irresponsible in that chair than Adam.
Well, we haven't had ice cream cookies yet, so... Oh,
we're not going to get those today.
Well, not after what you did.
No. I kind of...
Truth.
Can't say truth, you're married.
She would appreciate that I owned up to the fact that I did something stupid, I guess.
Okay.
Well, that's what I said, I guess. Thinking. That's the part that gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
It's not exactly owning up.
Yeah. Nope. Scott Snyder will be off Batman after issue number 51.
Which is confirmed, and
yeah,
it kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
Only because if the rumors are true and 52 is the last issue, before this whole Rebirth thing.
Why not?
Why wouldn't he stay until 52 and just end it?
I guess it depends on what DC has planned for their issue 52s also.
And maybe 52 has the tag Rebirth on it, and it transitions to whatever's happening. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Don't know. There's a rumor that another Batman versus Superman trailer is going to debut, and it's going to be attached to Deadpool.
Oh.
Which, I mean, it's 2 months out. That kind of makes sense, but it's starting to get into territory where, all right, stop showing me so much.
Less than 2 months now.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, well, yeah.
5 weeks.
Yeah.
A little over 5 weeks.
Although I did like the stuff that they did on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I heard some people kind of talking poorly about it. I enjoyed those, and it wasn't them.
It was Turk and Cheryl that did it.
I enjoyed those little TV spots.
I almost wanted to call Turkish Airlines and try to book a flight. And then when they said, no, well, that's false advertising. Jerks.
Well, I was surprised. I thought it would just be, like, canned footage they cut to
yeah.
Put. But
it was like a shot special footage just for that.
Ben Affleck actually, you know, there to run some lines for, you know,
yeah.
Gotham City. And
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor, yeah.
No, I enjoyed that.
Unless those were part of the movie, but I don't see how they would fit in the movie. I think
I think that was shot specifically for.
I like that they had a little sense of humor about.
They can't have a sense of humor, Dave. It's DC Comics movies.
Know,
it has to be all dark and gritty.
That's why I know. I know. That's why I was shocked that they actually showed a sense of humor in those.
They announced that they had cast Jughead and Betty for the Riverdale series.
I really hope, I'll say this before the podcast, I hope there are people that think it's Rivendale, and then it's in the Hobbit universe, and tune in and find Archie and Jughead and Betty and Veronica and Moose, and get very disappointed.
I mean, what I read about this, and again, it's a plot synopsis for a pilot, so I get that things will change. But it's really different where, like, Jughead and Archie had some kind of falling out, and they're not friends, and, you know, it's going to be CW Archie.
Or Jughead got attacked by his...
By Hot Dog?
Reincarnated Hot Dog.
That'd make a really good book. Oh, maybe they could come up with some idea.
It would make a good book if maybe, you know, they could come out with the special Archie Walking Dead crossover.
When was the last issue of that?
A long time ago.
Yeah. It's probably been 10 months
was it,
now.
At least. I thought we had one in the fall.
No, we had
a Sabrina in the fall.
I don't think we
That's
think
another that. Book that... That'd be great to have another one, too.
Maybe in the first or second quarter of last year.
Yeah.
But, man... Yeah, no, I don't think we had anything over the summer.
So
the
we
fall.
Could potentially hit a full calendar year before another issue.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there will...
Yeah. It's a good thing they apologized.
You look really bitter,
happened.
Dave.
I don't think there'll be any.
Like, look on your face when I started talking about this.
I'm getting all red.
Got really angry.
Ugh. And Archie's not even going to be at the Comics Pro meeting next week.
Bailed on us.
Ugh.
Well, aren't you tight with the CEO?
I don't
Apparently
know,
not as tight as you thought.
No. It has nothing to do with me. I was looking forward to talking to him, but yeah.
He was looking forward to talking to you, apparently.
Apparently.
I don't know. The writer is on Supergirl, and he's doing the TV
show.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem.
And who knows if he's ever even written another issue.
We
the
enjoy
thing that
Supergirl,
bugs me,
but the writing is not exactly
no,
stellar.
The thing that bugs me is...
He can take some time off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure they have a bunch of writers.
He told me in Baltimore in September that they had the script for the next Afterlife with Archie in hand. So it's like... Okay,
so
we're 5 months.
We know Frank Avila,
but
probably.
It's 5 months.
Oh, what is he?
You know,
what is he?
Not much.
On?
I mean, he knocks out. He knocks stuff out on Twitter all the time. Like some, yeah. You know, like Bowie
yeah.
died,
yeah.
And 2 hours later, he's got a picture yeah. up. So I can't believe he yeah. couldn't get an issue done in 5 months.
Yeah,
even in between
yeah.
everything
yeah,
else he's
very
doing.
Quick.
Yeah. So.
Well, good transition into Supergirl. Supergirl and Flash are going to cross over.
They are. I saw a picture.
March 29th. Huh?
I think we talked about that last week.
Did we?
There was talk of it.
There was talk
of it. Finally,
it became official last Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
But
especially
we got pictures.
Last night,
there were pictures
of Flash.
Up.
Yeah. I didn't see it yet.
Supergirl shoot.
Well, she showed up in some form. Yes and no. So when they were going through the time stream, there was Supergirl flying from the pilot. It wasn't new footage or anything. Yeah. It was kind veiled. But they had that. They had what looked like a futuristic version of Arrow.
Van Dyke?
No, but he was missing an arm.
Yeah.
Van Dyke too, though.
It looked like Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex, yes.
Josh Brolin?
No.
I listened to Nerdist podcast with him this past week, and he was saying like how that is, you know, one movie that he absolutely hated.
Really?
The end result, he hated what happened on it. That, you know, they did all those reshoots, and he thinks the movie they originally set to make would have been a far better movie. And even though it was such a bad experience, that if they came back and said they could do the movie they originally wanted to do, he would sign up for it in a second.
That's cool. Not divorcing himself of it, going,
this movie was bad, but it's not the movie we went to make, and if we get to make that, I'll be with it. Okay. And then someone said that there was the John Wesley Shipp version of Flash showed up on there, too. I didn't catch that one. So it was like when he jumps through the time stream, it's just flashes of him.
They showed a Legion flight ring also.
Did they? I missed that one, too. But there, some of the stuff came by so fast, it's hard to catch.
Yeah, I didn't see those until somebody took screenshots afterwards.
Okay. I caught the phone. When he dialed the phone, he had Bruce, Diana, and Hal on speed dial. Yeah.
Oh, there was so much great stuff in that.
Yeah, there's a lot of good Easter eggs in that one. So,
who had them on speed dial?
Barry did, but it wasn't. Barry, I mean, Earth 2 Barry isn't the Flash.
Okay.
So,
did you find out who Zoom is?
No, not yet.
To watch that tonight or tomorrow.
That's all I got for news, Colin.
That's it.
That's it, man.
That's it. Wow. I don't really have any news other than at this time next week. Well, I'll be getting close to late. Well, no, 3-hour time difference. No, I'm going to be somewhere in Texas, but I'll be heading out to Portland, Oregon for the Comics Pro meeting, where we meet out with all the publishers. Well, some of the publishers.
Maybe Marvel.
Drawn and Quarterly's not going to be there, who I asked about, and Black Mask isn't going to be there, which is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, they're missing. I mean, there hasn't been a new We Can Never Go Home.
I just noticed the left-hand side of the open sign has always been a little high, and then I just happened to look up there and realize that's why it's a little high, because the chain.
I think you're having a seizure.
All of a sudden I just happened to look up and see that. Sorry.
You stopped mid-sentence.
Did I?
And you were staring up at the ceiling.
No, I'm sorry. Kind of slack mouth. Slack mouth drooling. No, that's somebody else. But it's always it's a good time for me. It was funny. The Dave,
what a quick jab right there.
Dave, who does the Comics Now video, he's like, well, you should take the camera, film, record. So I'm like, it's not like a convention. It's very different. And trust me, it's, talking about Diamond, about why things on their website is wrong.
He just doesn't want him slobbering. Hey, comics. He's in the boom van.
There's some of that, too.
You can get your whole table to do a comic theater reading.
That would be great. You might be able to charge for that one.
So, I will have lots of... I won't be here next week for the podcast, if there is one, if you guys do one, or if I might steal the recorder to record in the boom RV.
I think Adam was in a... spearhead, because he has the keys and everything for the store too, doesn't he?
Okay, yeah.
But if he's not going
to... No, if you guys want... Well, yeah, I don't know. So I'll play it by ear on Wednesday.
I don't know if anyone else want to be responsible for the alarm system and...
Well, no, he's not closing up. Well, yeah, staying for the podcast, that's true. Yeah. So we'll play it by ear. So there may or may not be one next week. Well, it probably wouldn't go up until I got home anyway, so it wouldn't go online until Monday at the earliest.
I don't know how to do it.
I know. I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying. I won't be able to be here Thursday.
No, but you were like you were...
No, I was thinking. No. Yeah, that's all.
Unless Adam knows how to do it.
No, I don't think he does. It's very complicated.
I don't know, cutting your fancy song in the beginning and end.
Oh, it's very hard. Very difficult. GarageBand. Penguins game just started. you're excited.
I am.
Wearing your Flyer Batman shirt.
I am.
That would have been better at least than the other one.
Hey, man, I didn't tell him what to wear. I'm not his mom, okay?
My mom doesn't tell me what to wear either. Or tell me what not to wear, which is part of the problem.
But, so yeah, I'll be having fun. Follow Twitter, because I nothing better than drunk tweeting. master that.
That's no moon.
That's no moon, yeah. that's all I got. Somebody go.
Well, how about before we do the books?
We have a question.
Oh, yeah. Okay, before we do that, too. Since we ran so late last time, I worry that we may lose listeners throughout the whole thing. What do you have going?
What? Lose listeners on our 3-hour podcast? Josh, that's crazy.
I worry.
Everybody's here to the bitter end.
Do you have anything going on in the store right now that you'd like to advertise currently?
No. No sales?
No.
Not like the 2 sales you got running?
What? Okay. Just, you're so excited about it. You do it, Josh. No, there's the
store.
There's the graphic novel Alphabet sale going on.
Is messed up.
I had to post it for him. He's like, oh, 3 days after, like, I forgot to post it.
Come on,
I posted one, and you were like, that's not good enough.
Not the Valiant one.
Oh, that
the
one.
The B&O one.
That was what?
The Monday? Body odor sale.
No, we're, I'm doing
a railroad sale.
Doing the graphic novel Alphabet sale. And basically, every week it's going to be 2 different letters of the alphabet are going to be 25% off. So last week it was A and N, continuing on B and O this week. Not combining those for any other reason than they're alphabetical.
And so I figured you get the CP.
I figured mixing and matching the letters would be really annoying. You know, if I went A and Z and then B and Y, and confuse people. So, but yeah, so it's this week.
This has confused people too.
Yes, it has.
It's B and O,
not B through
not
O.
Not B through O.
Yeah. Even though it's clearly a plus sign.
You have to buy something that's B and something that's O. To
yes,
get
yes. I had one of those and signs, but that confused me.
Ampersand?
No, well, I don't know. It's the one with the backwards E with the line above
you
and
just
below.
Just write in capital letters.
And. Yeah. Bando? What's Bando?
Plus
Yeah. So, but that's...
Someone would find some book with an author named Bando.
I'd give it to him, man. I would give it. But, so yeah, everything with B and O this week are 25% off. The goal is to thin out my shelves a little bit. So far I'll tell you today it was Batman that I'm going to be reordering anyway, so it's not working quite right, but that's okay. And then the other one we have is the double points on all Valiant... graphic novels. Now, we do have a care package on its way from Valiant. We don't know what's in it.
Yeah, we spoke with them, and they
said
they would
be happy. Could
be
10 battle axes. Probably not.
So they'd be happy to sponsor a contest or giveaway or raffle of some sort to go along with the Valiant month.
And we're kind of still thinking about what to do, but I also kind of want to see what it is before I start making
offers. So we'll post
offers.
Details on the website, but I think right now what we were floating around is... Whenever you buy a Valiant trade, you would probably enter into a raffle of some sort. That's not official.
No, that's fine. But yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, it might be a box of box cutters, a box of bookmark. You know, I don't know what it is.
A box of box cutters.
I think that he would send us.
Josh would be
stuff.
So excited if it was a box of
I
box cutters.
I think Josh
cutters.
Has box
I asked
cutters.
Josh if he was looking for a lifetime supply.
I'm going emo.
Going emo? Okay, Kylo. Oh, okay.
He didn't get it.
Was that too far? Okay.
It was too far. That's why I didn't.
I saw what you were doing. Yes.
But once we found out what the... All I told the guy from Valiant was... He asked what we wanted. And I said, whatever sort of Valiant swag they had available to send us. So, could be
Josh
lots of
Josh is hoping
awesome
for
stuff.
A bloodshot statue.
Could be a goat.
That'd be a hell of a giveaway item. That thing's $300.
What's money to Dinesh? Come on. Guy's rolling in it.
It's true. So once we find out what it is, we'll post details, but we're thinking...
I will be able to personally thank him next week. See? Yeah. All good.
So keep your eyes on the website. And if you've already... If we do the... If buying the trade gets you entered in, are you able to go back through and see, like, who purchased since the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take care of you. Don't worry.
All right. Not me.
I know. No.
Like,
I
Pat's
mean,
bought,
right.
like, 7 trades.
I know he has.
So.
I know he has. He's out of control. He took advantage of it last week under Ninjak. See?
Yes,
see how this is working? So this week you could get Bloodshot. Just saying.
The new trade just came out.
Just saying.
Volume 2 for Reborn today.
Maybe I'll take advantage of that.
So that's what we got going on here at the store. That's about it. Got a big supply order in today. That's not hugely important. But I got three new kinds of short boxes that are pretty darn cool. There's a Batman-themed one, a Harley-themed one, and a Hulk-themed one. It's kind of cool. If you like the Biff Bam Pow boxes that I got in, they're similar to that. A little bit smaller, about an inch shorter.
They're smaller than short boxes?
They're a little bit shorter than a short box. They call them mini boxes, but they're not really that mini. But they're pretty cool.
The Biff Bam Pow one, though, that's a normal size short box.
Yeah.
Are they the same price as that one?
They're $7.99, same as the other one. So, that's it. That's a pod... Oh, wait, no.
Question?
We do have a question. Could you... Oh, here.
Can I what? How's your spam problem on the question?
That is gone. Thank you, Josh. I was getting, like... I can't even tell you how many spam emails a day to the...
Colin does not want a Russian mail order.
No, it was all in
foreign
languages.
But the Viagra is welcome.
Yeah, well, free samples, yeah. So Zach sent a question. There it is.
Do you want to send money to this Kenyan prince?
Yes. It says, this ties back a bit with the whole cancellation of Black Knight and sales numbers from DC to previous weeks. I feel comics are reaching a saturation point. Too many books means you got to drop some if you got a limited budget. If I got to choose between Batman and Black Canary, because buying both means I'd go over my budget, I'm dropping Black Canary and getting Batman. Or if I have to choose between Doctor Strange and Black Knight, I'm dropping Black Knight and getting Doctor Strange. It's either that or wait months for a digital sale where I can get them cheaper, or wait even further to get the digital trade paperback or even a physical trade paperback, and by then it's too late to save some series. In the end, I think publishers need to realize that it's not just a matter of quality of their books. Sometimes it's simple economics, when their own efforts are cannibalizing sales for their mid-tier books. Do you guys agree with where I'm coming from? I do. I look at stuff like right now, there are 11 Spider-Man family books, which is great, but even the most ardent Spider-Man fan isn't going to want all 11 Spider-Man books, because... very few people are just buying Spider-Man, and this is great. I'll spend $44 on Spider-Man books every month. Probably not going to happen.
Yeah. J. Jonah Jameson's the only one that wants that many pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah. So people are forced to pick and choose. That's my one concern with...
He doesn't pay for them.
...them talking about some of these DC books double shipping is what will that hurt. Like I said, I understand it from DC's sales point of view. Even if they drop down to, like, what, 75% of what Batman is selling, that's still a win for them, as long as it doesn't go below half. And then some of those smaller tier books, like a Black Canary, you know...
They will suffer.
They will suffer, or they'll hang on only in the sense of they're not mass appeal, and their narrow fan base will stick with them, which is not good.
And the money the extra money they make on Batman might
pay for
help some of those books survive longer, but there's no doubt about it. They're audience reach is going to decrease.
Mm-hmm.
They may have some people buying more books, but they're not going to hit as many people at that point.
Well, I think it depends on what their goals for the particular book are, too. And it kind of runs counter to your point, not that I disagree with your point. There are certain books that have come out that really are for a specific audience or to bring in different readers. Not necessarily new readers, different readers, you know, like the Batgirl syndrome, mm-hmm. for a lack of a better term. That's real. You know, they really did bring in certain books, and that was their purpose. They know that a 35-year-old guy is not going for that book. So if they want to double up on Batman or they want to do whatever, that doesn't hurt it. You can bring out 52 books. You could bring out 152 books. If the book's good, it'll survive. If the book's not good, it won't survive. I think they have a bigger problem with quality necessarily than quantity.
I don't necessarily agree that if the book's good, it will survive. If the book doesn't, if people don't try it out.
It's got to find an audience. I hear nothing but great stuff about Midnighter, but not a lot of people are reading. I think I'm down to like nine
Vision's
copies.
Vision's fantastic, and how
but
are the numbers
not,
on that?
Yeah, it's not. For me, it's not selling.
But
I don't
the quality,
know about
read the book, it's absolutely fantastic.
But that also goes back to marketing. How did they market Vision? They didn't. You know, they just threw it out there. And that falls
and
on them a lot.
DC is completely god-awful at marketing their own stuff.
Yeah.
Like, at least Marvel, they may not market it the right way, but they make sure you know that the book exists and that it's coming out and when it's coming out. Whereas DC, they make sure you know that Batman's coming out and that Superman's coming out, but they're smaller books they really don't say much about.
I think it comes down to marketing, too. Like you said, Jai, I think it's a catch-22 with the popularity of Batman, the money it makes, allows the smaller books like Prez or something to be published.
Yeah.
But there's no way that, you know, Prez is going to get the press that, that Batman gets.
If you see a book like Prez that has a great debut issue and then drops off significantly, then you can blame the quality. Because then, obviously, people didn't you know, the book didn't speak to them at all. But they gave it a try. But if it comes out of the
little things like that, I don't remember an interview on CBR with the writer of Prez explaining what it was. You know, just little things like that. That's what I want to see. Because what I want to I have another email brewing in my head. But it's like, that's what we need. Yeah, I know. We need these things. Well, I wanted to email Stuart before the meeting just to kind of get some stuff out there, because trying to tell him at the meeting it'll get
lost. Trying to prime the pump.
Well, but just saying, you know, you need to get the creators involved, because that's the biggest thing you see with Marvel is the interviews with the creators that you see. Because not just on CBR, but then it gets shared on Facebook and Twitter, and then that person's Twitter followers, you know, and so you're seeing stuff multiple times, and that's what you have to do. Posting it on the DC blog, okay, who's, you know, you have to go there to see it. You know, it's just, I think they just need to do a lot better effort.
Not that it helped, but I did like when they had those short little interviews with the creators at the back of the books.
Yeah.
Not something that can be shared, you know, to different news sites, but when you're reading the book, I liked having that in the back.
Okay.
One thing about Zach's question, though, I don't necessarily say, okay, well, I'm getting another Batman book, I got to drop a DC book.
No, but say,
like, okay.
The problem with me and you is that we don't approach this is my budget that I'm going to spend on my books, and I'm not going to go past that.
No, but I've dropped things for budgetary reasons.
Drop it when you finally get that point, you're like, oh, I'm spending too much money. But not like, I don't say, I can only spend this much money per month on comics.
No, but I think when you drop, it's more, I haven't been enjoying this. So that's more of the quality issue you're talking
about. If you were
about
enjoying all those books, you probably would keep, you would spend the extra and keep buying them until you stopped enjoying it.
Well,
as much.
Well, like Marvel destroyed DC last month on the sales chart, doubled
which
them.
Really surprised
but
me.
But when you looked at the breakdown, Marvel shipped 93 issues in January. What? We don't need Marvel shipping 93 different issues every month.
DC ships 70 something.
Right, but neither of those need to be that high. That was one interesting thing.
Right, but if I don't like Batman, and I say I'm dropping Batman, that doesn't mean I have to pick up another DC book. It could mean a couple.
No, it doesn't.
It may mean I pick up a Marvel book or a Valiant book or an Image
right
book.
Oh, absolutely.
Or it may mean I don't pick up anything.
No, absolutely. But if you drop Batman, you may not pick something up right away, but after so many times you're dropping it, then you're more likely to try something else out. You're not going to think about it as much when you want to try a new book. Because suddenly you're not thinking that you're already spending too much money.
Yeah, I already, you know, I saved $3.99 here. I can go spend it doing something.
But I do
else,
hear several people say that, you know, this is how much they'll spend a certain amount on comics each week or each month.
Yeah.
So for them, I could see where they say, well, if I want to stick to this budget, I will drop one book to add a book. And it becomes much more, you know, economical that way.
Yeah, no, and you're right. You and I don't think of it.
No, I mean,
in terms of that.
Fortunately, I mean, we're fortunate we don't have to.
Right.
Because money's no object with Josh.
Oh, it's
you didn't see him.
It's an object.
Yeah, it's more or less, how much do I really want to argue this week? Okay, well, you know, it's,
how bad about myself do I want to feel whenever Colin tells me my total? That's,
yeah.
When did you get one of those little stands so everybody can see it?
When Bob was behind me and, you know,
he'd get a bowel behind the counter when it's over
said,
$50.
Bing! He said his number and how it was high, and I thought, oh, his high number is like $20 less than my normal number. Man, that sucks.
But no, I do think there's too many books. And a lot of it's the like Doomed. Did we need Doomed? Was there any reason to come out with that book? I don't mind the small ones that have a story to tell, a point to make, like Prez. I mean, now granted, I loved Prez, but I thought that was a real neat book. Doomed.
Was there a point to come out with Doomed with a writer that, not to hate on
no,
Dell,
but he's not known for being
does
a visionary.
Not bring people in.
He's like a Cullen Bunn who's kind of, he's functional. He can tell a story.
He's a poor man's Cullen Bunn.
Right. No, absolutely. Like, but I'm saying, wow. Cullen Bunn's not a Morrison. No, no, but just as a visionary guy with all these neat ideas, it's more of, here's the story. He's I can tell a story. A yeah, a workman. Right. But less of those, more visionaries, more points of view, more interesting.
Not that there isn't a place for the workman.
No, creators, not at all.
But no, but they're, I mean, they have to be there.
Yeah. If you're going to put out a completely off-the-wall book that's in a, that you know concept alone is in a struggle to find an audience, that's yeah. when you need someone who can really hook people.
Yeah.
You could put a workman on something that where the concept almost sells itself.
Yeah, but didn't work on Aquaman.
Aquaman doesn't necessarily sell itself.
True.
That's yeah. And it's not a DC thing either. Marvel's just
oh, yeah.
as bad.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
absolutely.
Devil Dinosaur, Moon Girl. That, yeah. You know, come on. That's not a book anybody was asking for.
It's sold better than Dark Knight Returns.
At one store. The greatest store. The most
How
influential store.
How much did that
store.
Drop off to issue two? From issue
they
one?
All dropped big. Big drops across the board. But then you have stuff like Daredevil that I sold out of. What?
Where is the Dark Knight? Hasn't the third issue been out?
It's weird because DC normally doesn't slip like that.
On issue three.
Yeah.
That will be discussed. How we I was promised in September that it would be on time. Because they were supposed to skip February and then they were going to have that fill-in issue.
Mm-hmm.
The John Romita Dark Knight one. And now that's slipped till April.
Plus in April you got Earth 1. Man. It's going to be an expensive month too.
Earth 1, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see what reviews are for that book. That one, I like Grant Morrison. That one looks too out there for me.
This is exactly why I have a problem. My OCD catches up with me. I'm like,
you want all of them?
Yeah, I have all the Batman. I have
all
the Superman. I got Teen Titans. Yeah, now it's like Pokemon. I got to catch them all.
It's just I like Yannick Paquette's art, and that man, I everything
he's real
so
good.
Far,
and he did this week's Batman.
Yeah, but in the previews
it's
for
that cover
book,
that you didn't like,
even the interior stuff, I hated it. Ugh. And I've never hated something of his until this. Even his Art of War statue, the Wonder Woman one, I can't stand it. But we'll see.
Such is life.
We'll see.
Who read something?
Was that the only question?
That was the only question we got, yeah.
All right. Who's going first?
Pat.
All right, I'll go first.
Thought we're going to do a, you know,
rock
paper scissors again, but
we're good.
Colin,
we're good.
Selected you.
Walking
been
Dead.
Anointed.
Walking Dead 151.
I didn't read that.
No? Dave?
I didn't read that, no.
Ah, just me, okay.
I think Adam reads it too.
Adam might have read it.
Well, Adam's not here, so. That's messed
really?
Up.
Really? Blow the belt with the guy that's not here to defend himself
sorry.
Tonight, aren't you?
That's. Sorry. If he was here, he'd still do it.
No, you wouldn't.
The group starts training. In the previous issue, Rick made the executive decision they're going to start their own army, which I think I mentioned on this podcast a year ago. So Kirkman owes me a dollar. So they decided they're going to train their own army.
Hear that, Kirkman?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get it too. So they start doing that, and in the meantime, Eugene is busy playing on a shortwave radio, and he gets a response. Now, I'm not sure if he actually got a response, or if he's having a Rick moment where, you know, Rick was talking to Lori on a telephone after she was dead. We could be seeing one of those going on, but if not, then Eugene apparently found some other survivors somewhere. So, not a great issue. It was kind of one of those moving on to the next part issues. Next book was Sheriff of Babylon.
Didn't read it. I want to. It's in the file.
I keep hearing great things about that.
Yeah,
it
was
is.
Good. Very good.
Tom King writes this, and he's writing a really good story with this. So in this issue, Chris, who is the American that's training the Iraqi forces, we find out that him and Sophia, who is the Iraqi, it seems like she's a councilwoman, that they apparently have a thing going on, kind of behind closed doors. Yep. And then Nasir, who is the Iraqi detective who was helping Chris try to track down the family of this dead Iraqi officer, he gets kidnapped by what would appear to be insurgents. And it ends on a cliffhanger, but the assumption is he's going to join the insurgency. So, at least it's been a really good read.
I think I'll definitely pick this up in trade when it comes
out. And I think it'll read well in trade. Voltron. So,
I've heard this has been so-so.
It has. So Voltron saves the day, as Voltron is apt to do. And Hagar, she gets new robo-beasts to fight Voltron. And it's a lot of fighting, not a lot of dialogue. Like, not a lot goes on. It's mostly this battle. And it's just been so-so. The art's been nice. But, you know, this. I think instead of a six-issue, this probably could have been a four-issue mini and wrapped up pretty nicely, because there's a lot of just drawing out the plot for no reason. So, Green Lantern.
I read that.
I thought it was okay. I liked kind of how Hal caught on about the whole UN thing. Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the interaction with his brother.
No, that seemed very out of place.
It was too over the top on his brother's part.
Yeah.
Like, don't you dare put this on Howard. He's not putting it on Howard, clown. Calm down.
Yeah, he knows who did this.
But I like this. This issue got, like, on a comic roundup. I saw the scores last week, weren't that great for it. But I actually enjoyed it a decent amount. I kind of liked how the whole thing was resolved without him ever, you know, actually being toe-to-toe with Sonar.
Yes.
It was kind of, you know, we'll see him again at some point.
Right.
And
the ending.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep hinting that there's going to be a confrontation with him and Parallax. And I'm wondering now, with Rebirth, is that what's going to happen? Or is that going to kind of derail things?
I don't know, because he's going after him because of what he has done in the past.
Yeah, he's afraid Coast City's going to be destroyed.
But he doesn't know that Hal Jordan isn't, you know, doesn't have the Parallax entity or whatever.
Yeah.
But those teases I actually have not been a fan of. Just because I feel like they've been kind of pointless to see a page. Nothing's really progressed with that.
Yeah, I mean, nothing has progressed with it, although he's now shown up in, I think, two books.
Three, I think.
Okay,
this is third issue. And it's always been just like a page at the end.
Yeah, but what I do like about it is they're showing the people that crossed over from Convergence are now in this universe. It's not something separate. It's not something different.
Yeah.
I guess they're doing it in Superman, but I'm not reading Superman.
They could have gone anywhere. Like, they could have gone to wherever they wanted, I think.
Okay.
At the end. Who's crossed over in Superman?
Superman,
Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Batman Europa.
Yes, I like that a lot.
I did too.
It's Carla over here.
This what?
So that's Carla. The Reddit.
Sam.
You're not Sam. You were not Sam Malone.
I own the place.
So then you're Kirstie Alley.
Diane?
No, Diane was
Shelley Longman.
What was Kirstie Alley's character named?
Rebecca.
Rebecca! Yeah, Rebecca. Go Dave.
That's my sister's name, too.
You're Rebecca.
Anyway, Becky.
That was Kirstie Alley's heyday.
True.
Yeah.
She was attractive back then.
Yeah.
Shucks, Josh. no, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that was
almost more as an art book
yeah.
than as a story. The story was fine, but the art was just really, really good.
As a series, I loved how the art issue got was different. A little, and well, not only just a different style, but how
different artists,
as the sickness progressed, things got more and more hazy and all that. It was a really interesting way to do it. I
enjoyed the end.
Yeah, I did.
But I want to almost say to them, I want more of that, because that's something when it comes out as a trade, I want a Batman story. Here you go. You don't have to worry that, you know, it's volume 8. It's I was very happy for that. But
you have several Batman stories like
that. Oh, absolutely. Though, absolutely. But I'd like to see more. You know, I'd like more Spider-Man stories like that.
That's
like
Marvel that. Doesn't do many of those.
No.
Although, I guess all those point issues when collected can be.
But then they
a
put
standalone.
It is, it'll be trade volume 1.1. Oh. You know, that's what they did with that first little point series. So, yeah. But no.
Didn't see Bane being.
No.
That was actually kind of, one, out of nowhere, and two, the guy physically changed, because he looked like a skinny little guy, and all of a sudden it was Bane. I'm like, okay, I don't know how that happened.
But I like the end where basically they were both infected, and it turns out the cure for each other's infection was the other person's blood, so they had to keep them alive to, you know, he couldn't. But then after it was all done, just then Batman's just beating the crap out of Joker. He says, with a little grin on his face, and
That's good.
But the art was just, wow.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Doctor Strange. Still reading that, Dave?
Yeah, I read Doctor Strange, yeah.
I like that. It was, It kind of played upon what happened in the last issue, where there's a cost to doing magic.
Yeah.
And
disagreeing.
And then we find out that where we thought Doctor Strange was paying the price, he's not always paying the price. He apparently has the Legion of Strange or Warriors of Strange or whatever, and they're like monks up in a Himalayan monastery who are essentially paying the price.
Secret Disciples of Strange.
Okay, Secret Disciples.
Yeah, so Wong goes to the Himalayas to check them out. Yeah, that was cool.
And, you know, they're the ones that are getting all the pain and punishment and dying for what Doctor Strange is conjuring. It's a different book, but it's been really good. The art's been good. The story is interesting. I don't know how well this would play if this is where they're headed with the movie. I'd be a little concerned with that. 'Cause it's very different than what the normal MCU stuff has been.
Yeah. I don't think we'll have to see what the movie's like, but I like this book. This issue especially had more of a horror tone to it.
Yeah.
I thought. And that works for Doctor Strange.
Bleeding eyes and all that. Yeah.
That was crazy stuff, yeah.
Even some of the wounds that the Disciples of Strange had was very, like, you know, pus and you know, like boils and all that all over them. It was, you know, it was like, wow, okay. But very, very good book. And then the last one was Klaus, number 3.
Yes, I read Klaus. Klaus.
Klaus. Klaus. I'm really liking this. And at first, I'll tell you, I wasn't sure. And
it could have gone either way.
With Grant Morrison writing it, I always like, I'm going to get confused after 30 pages. But
are you generally not a Grant Morrison fan?
It's not that I'm not a Grant Morrison fan. It's some of the stuff I've read, I've really liked. And then some of it has, like Multiversity, has confused the hell out of me. So it's one of those, can kind of go either way. But in this, you know, Santa essentially, he takes the war to Magnus. He's not sitting back. He's on the attack now.
Yeah. So he's delivering toys to all the kids at the beginning, at the doorsteps, and then he goes out into the forest and in the magic powers.
It was very psychedelic there.
Yeah, it gets psychedelic because he's like trying to figure out how to deliver them in secret.
Yeah. Santa on acid.
That's what it is. It's essentially Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah.
You know, with Thor being Santa Claus with slightly darker hair, but picture Thor as Santa Claus.
Santa Thor's coming to town.
And then take a bunch of acid. That's...
And then get White Castle.
I haven't seen that yet, but, you know, that might show up. We haven't gotten Sam yet either. But, yeah. So that was Klaus. Klaus. Clues.
Well, there was the... I want to mention the part where Magnus goes down into the mines where all the towns were working, and there's like some supernatural spirit or something.
That's Krampus.
That he's taking orders from. Because he said, I've done what you wish, you know, I rid the town of all happiness
and
everything. So that was an interesting...
It's either going to be the Grinch or Krampus.
Yeah.
Or Colin. Dave, what else do you read?
What else I read?
That's all you got?
He went through like 75 things right there.
Yeah, and at least I remember what I read.
Half of your list was from 2 weeks ago.
Fair enough. That was not. One of the books.
One of the books you wrote down you can't remember.
One
Why'd
book.
You even write it down?
Paper Girls number 5.
I read that.
Maybe you could tell me what happened, because I
You would be very mistaken, David.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I just have the most trouble trying to explain what happens in this book.
Yeah, this is such a wacky book.
And
I think what really lends to the wackiness is the crazy speech that these time-jumping alien things...
Well, we have the two alien dudes... have Aaron, who was shot. They have her in their ship or whatever it is.
And they're not aliens. They're teenagers, but they're from the future, and they're scavengers. Like, their spaceship, they said they found in some garbage heap that they scavenge. Or salvage, sorry. Scavenge, salvage, mixed together.
Scavenge.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
So when you scavenge it and you salvage it. Scavenging.
Sure, whatever.
Copyright. Trademark.
So they're taking care of her, and these bugs are fixing her stomach wherever.
Yeah,
she
it's like
shot.
Futuristic leeches or maggots or something.
Yeah, and the girls go back to the other where they first found this.
Well, yeah, so then they finally click in their head that maybe if it's a time machine, because they talk to the other alien. Or not the other futuristic, you know, the one that rides a dinosaur or whatever. They thought if that's a time machine, then perhaps the one they saw in that basement a few issues ago was the same time machine, and maybe it's, you know, maybe that was actually in the future or from the future. So they go back and they find their friend in there, but something happened and killed the two dudes that were helping her out.
Yeah.
And there's something weird with a guy with a big beard and. Wacky t-shirts.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Living in the suburbs.
With that guy, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the end of the first arc, and I'm like, I have no idea.
Is this an ongoing series?
Yes.
Really?
No, this is the last issue, Dave.
This is the last issue.
Questions remain unanswered.
Is everything going to be answered in issue 6, I hope?
I would doubt it.
Was this the penultimate
issue?
Because this is a break now. There's a break between the next issue.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I think, yeah.
Well, they end up going to the future,
mm-hmm.
to 1999, it looks like.
And they run into one of their future selves.
Yeah, Aaron. They run into her. So
and it looked like it's normal future, not the crazy future.
Yeah.
Because she just drives up in a car and, you know, they're in the middle of the road and she gets out and the one girl introduces herself and then it's when we find it's the same person. There's so many of these books right now, and maybe I'm a buffoon, but I read, there's so many of these books that I've read recently where I'm like, I really enjoyed that book. I have no idea why or what that book is about, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's me in this Paper Girls
Detective
book,
Comics 49.
Sure.
But yeah, like Paper Girls
Twilight Children. I feel like there's one other one that I have been saying that about recently. But yeah. I'm a buffoon, I guess.
And the other one I read is Obi-Wan and Anakin, number 2.
You're on your they, own there.
I know. Yeah. They are on...
Geronimo.
They answer, Obi-Wan and Anakin answer a distress call. This is this takes place, you know, between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. Anakin's like 12 years old or so. And they answered a distress call to this planet, Carnelian 4. And there's remnants of a civilization there, and they find two people who live there. It's kind of like a steampunk aesthetic with these airships going around and zeppelins and stuff like that. And the two people there, they run into two girls who never heard of the Jedi. They don't know who they are. They didn't answer the, put out the distress call. So they get one of their enemies is a guy. They start attacking them, and Obi-Wan and Anakin help lead them both out of this valley with these corpse leeches or something. These crazy monsters.
No, this is his nickname in college.
No, I'm thinking that would make I'm having a little bit of a flashback. I'm like, this would make a great theater presentation. Whatever it's called. I can't remember. Previews Theater.
Oh.
That's what we do.
Well, next one. I didn't watch your episode you posted yesterday. Yeah. Sorry, man.
He didn't say he wasn't going to watch. He said he hasn't watched it yet.
Adam admitted not to watching any of them since the first one.
Why do I do these things for you guys anymore?
You were doing this for us?
Yeah, you don't do them for us. Let's be honest. We buy plenty of stuff without your shilling. So
shilling. Step on up. Come on down. Text an editor. Go ahead. See, now we interrupted Dave. See?
We?
That's it. So the book, I don't know. The book's just okay. It's written by Charles Soule. And as we've known, you know, he's kind of...
Kind of what?
Not as done as well with his writing as when you guys thought he was doing great stuff with DC.
Maybe we're just haters. Maybe other people out there are loving his Marvel stuff. But yeah. I loved his DC books, and I tried. The only Marvel book that he wrote that I read and I really enjoyed was Lando.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I did like Lando.
Okay, you did the Lando was really good. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, he's on.
Yeah, so it's not being a hater. It's just some things you like, some things you don't.
Right.
I was bitter at first because he was on two books that I really enjoyed, and then he left.
Made me bitter about the Red Lanterns thing was there was only 3 issues of the damn book left. Write the 3 issues. Wrap up your story, write the...
Yeah.
Because that ended horribly, and I think had he been able to end it, it would have worked better. But,
yeah. Agreed.
That's all I have, then. I didn't get too much last week.
Carla?
Okay, well, I read Spider-Man number 1. Anybody else?
Nope.
I was really hoping to.
I see the surprise look in your face.
No. Well, Adam read it.
He probably didn't read it yet.
But it
I forgot what happened.
It fucked.
You guys are a-holes.
Oh, my gosh.
To be fair, I'll do it in front of him. I don't care. Yeah,
he's home with his sick dog.
That poor dog.
But it follows kind of the Bendis method of starting in the middle of the action and then the rest of the issue being a flashback until it catches up with the action. So it starts off with him facing off against Blackheart. Yes? Mephisto's kid or whatever.
That is well above the power set of Peter Parker.
No, it's not Peter Parker. This is Miles
Morales. I know, that's what I was going to say. It's well above the power set of Peter Parker, never mind Miles
Morales. So then it jumps back to, you know, earlier this morning at Avengers at the
meanwhile at the Hall of Justice.
That's right. Thank you, Pat.
I hate that storytelling mechanic.
Yeah,
it's used way too often.
And so then it flashes to, I don't remember specifically what order these were, but it was Mom and Dad, and he called to say that he only had a B in something, and she was upset, and Dad didn't yell at him, and that's because it would have the same effect as just talking to him. And the big thing with this is you're supposed to realize that his mom's alive, who I guess was dead before Secret Wars and is now alive, but they really never come right out and say that.
Yeah,
so
really
if you hadn't read
if
it...
you're an existing audience member.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So that didn't mean anything. And then basically it goes to him in school, and he's not doing well in school. They ask a question about a book, and he hadn't read the book. And, you know, gosh, what are you doing? And then it shows him going, oh, I was out late fighting crime. And then something else happened, and it was out late. You know, it was him and Squirrel Girl teaming up on something.
You know, to be fair, though, he is from a different universe. I got to, you know, imagine the books were different. Not
well,
every universe
okay,
is going to have
enough,
the Catcher in the Rye.
Enough.
I mean,
but,
so
well, but they don't play that up because it's like he's got his best friend.
Oh, that's a good point.
Everything.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
well, it wasn't,
you know,
Catcher in the Rye.
It
was
no, but like we had to read Catcher in the Rye,
To Kill a
Mockingbird, Animal Farm,
yeah,
and To Kill a Mockingbird. But in his universe, they
would
be different.
It was
books.
Trying to play up that he's spending so much time at night crime fighting that he's, you know, falling asleep in class, and all of a sudden sirens go by and he has to go to the bathroom, and it's no, you can't go, and then finally he just leaves to follow these sirens because that's. But my problem reading it, I'm like, I've read this before. I've seen Peter Parker doing bad in school because he's so tired.
To be fair, though, with this, with Peter Parker's status being what it is over the past few years, wasn't there people complaining that they just wanted, like, that book where you have, you know, just the Spider-Man character that's kind
right,
of
no,
trying
it could
to balance
be.
Between...
But it felt very much of, I've read this before.
Yeah.
And there was nothing new. And then... Then we get to the end, and it's him taking on Blackheart, who has defeated all the Avengers. And he's able to stop him with his venom. He has some sort of venom sting, and that makes Blackheart disappear. And then the last panel is him standing with all the other Avengers on the ground before him, and Spider-Man showing up going, what did you do? And it's supposed to be this big dramatic thing. And I'm like, well, I'm going to say it'll resolve itself pretty quick when they wake up and say, oh, no, he didn't do it. It was just, you know, it was overly dramatic of Peter saying to him, what did you do? And it very much felt like I was reading Spider-Man Jr.
Well, but Peter knows Miles.
Right.
So, you know, Peter yeah. knows Miles is...
And Miles is on the Avengers.
Yeah.
So that it just...
Which Avengers team was
he's
knocked
on the
out?
Main.
No,
the main.
I know that.
Yeah, it was Cap and Thor. I forget who else was there.
Miss Marvel and Vision and
specifically,
and,
but
Nova, I think. Is
it
that
was just,
name?
It just very much felt, yeah, you got to the end and there was just nothing new, nothing compelling you to read the next issue. So I'm not a big fan of Spider-Man number one. Detective 49, yeah, we'll pass on that because.
What happened?
It did not
recap
register.
<for us.
laughs> Well, the problem was it's the middle of the arc. I just decided to take because the cover interested me. And none of it made sense.
It's 4th and 28, pun.
Deadpool Merc for Money. Didn't you read that, Pat?
I did not.
What? Pat did not read? Pat
remember how you've been read. Saying, you were saying for a while that eventually the readers are going to get tired and just stop?
Yeah.
That's
you want to see how many I still have on the shelf?
To be fair, though, I didn't like the he has his own group of mercenary storyline for two reasons. One, it's the same damn thing as we're doing in Harley Quinn. And two, that doesn't work for Deadpool.
So, but basically that's what it was. It was them doing jobs for money. They've stolen like a, they're, I'll say riding in like a decommissioned Quinjet. There was nothing memorable. I read it, but nothing stuck out. I need to take better notes when I read these things. Superman 48 and Action 49.
The title's not doing it for you.
Sadly, I read them backwards. But so I'll review them in the correct order. But basically, I don't remember.
Vandal Savage.
Yeah. Reading him in the wrong order killed me.
Poisoned Superman in some way yeah. where some of his cells are poisoned and preventing his healthy cells from absorbing sunlight and recharging. So Superman... So Superman decides to approach it as if it were a cancer and thinks that by immersing himself in kryptonite, that it will kill off the unhealthy cells, and then once those are gone, the healthy cells could thrive and reabsorb sunlight and become power. One side note here, because I've been seeing this happen a lot in recent years. He gets his powers from the sun,
mm-hmm.
our sun.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it when Superman's out in space somewhere, not in our solar system, he still has superpowers?
Because it stores in his body.
For a long period of time?
Well, no, but it's not our sun. It's a yellow sun. So as long as there's other yellow stars, he should continue to absorb.
I'm gonna call shenanigans.
But, I didn't write the
But then in Action 49 was interesting, where Vandal Savage apparently has this power like Inhumans, and he has children,
Inhumans.
Children or ancestors all over the planet because he's been around so long and his bloodline is all over.
And he likes to have a good time. Likes to
yeah, well,
Vandal he, Savage likes, he to, likes party. To party.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? One in three males are genetically linked to Genghis Khan.
Okay.
Or the males of European descent, I think, are genetically,
Look at me. My goodness.
Spitting image.
So
right there.
There's this, all of a sudden he like casts this mist or something over this one kid, and all of a sudden he grows this huge, strong, like, you know, Bane-ish kind of guy. So he and
Vandals, Terrigen Mists.
Yeah, that's as I'm reading, I'm like, okay. But Superman is now kind of charged with all this kryptonite, which has killed off the things that Vandal Savage had.
Incorrect.
Oh, okay.
It has not killed them off. It has started killing off some of his healthy cells.
Right.
But the cells that Vandal Savage poisoned, they've adapted and they've started feeding off of the
okay. Energy, but it's fine. He's powered up, but in a different way.
Yeah, now. So as they're feeding off the radiation from the kryptonite, that's how he's powered up. And he has some of his core powers back, like he can fly and whatnot and super strong, but also some of his powers have changed, like his super hearing. He can now kind of sense signals all across the planet, and it's a bit different. It's more, you know, like satellite signals, things of that nature. But he has just, even though he's being harmed by it, and it's painful for him, you get to see Superman with just this unbridled joy that he finally has.
Yeah, where he can fly again.
And
he can
do Superman all this stuff again. Yeah. In a sense.
Yeah.
This green glowing Superman.
Yes. Then the last one I have, Mirror was a new one from Image. And even though I remember exactly what happened in it, I can't tell you what happened. No, no. It was just, it's a very odd fantasy one.
You?
No. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like some of these other books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that it's bad, there's just no way to summarize it. It's in a land of magic, and there's this kid who was real close with a dog, and then something happened to the dog, but you couldn't tell. Like, it was just, like, laying there. But you couldn't tell if these people did something to it. But then it shows him older, and he's missing a hand. Like, his hand is now metal. But then there's this grown-up dog talking to him. But you don't know if it's a ghost or if it's this thing. And there's, he's in this, like, it's this realm where they're trying to get magic. And there's all these characters. There's a giant bear in the basement who's dying that they've been feeding off of. And it'll die, but it'll come back because it's a guardian. And but it won't remember them. And there's a mouse. And it's just, it was really, you're reading it going,
what? Oh,
it's interesting, but I have no idea what's going on. So, yeah, Mirror was really, really out there. Very different.
Something to read and trade is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what did I read? Oh, something for today. We'll get back. Kettle Block Blues. I read a new one from Boom, and basically it's a prison
that
book.
Weird.
It is. It's a prison book, but it's set in a kennel. But the weird part of it is planned. The weird part is there's this new guy, and basically he just lost his master. You know, he got lost, and they'll come get him soon. Everything will be okay. And there's this big older dog, you know, big tough guy who's kind of his protector. Like, yeah, that's what they all say, kid. Come on, don't talk to him. Let's move along. And he's in a cell, and all this. You know, this the cats are the enemies, and the cats took over. They got the leader of the dogs put in solitary. Now they've kind of taken over the prison. And I mean, it's a kennel book, but it's a prison.
It's awesome.
But the main character, the part where it's goofy is the main character keeps, like, singing this theme song. Like, oh, everything's fun, and he's singing this out loud, and everybody's looking at him like, you are crazy. But as he's singing, everybody changes, and now it's almost like a cartoon, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And everybody's happy and thing, and that's what they look like. They're dressed in these little outfits, but then you realize it goes back, and it's just him kind of trying to make the best of a bad situation.
So is this an actual guy, or is this a
dog? No, it's dog. It's dog. Okay. No, it's a kennel. They're all dogs and cats and stuff. Really, really good. It's only a 4-issue one, but this first one was really a lot of fun. And then at the very end, something came and took the big protector guy, and it was like this black mist, and you wonder if that's somebody taking him to be put down or something. But it was weird, but it was funny. Just this poor guy, just totally out of place, and singing his happy song because I'm in my happy place.
I saw that, and I'm like,
yeah.
But even the cover
shows
it.
It was good.
Weird.
It was very well done. The art was really good. Everything was really good about that. So that one was good. Oh, there was something I read for today. I forget what it was, but it was one of those where I read it. I'm like, okay, that was all set up. There was, like, no real story to it. And what I knew of the story didn't come through, or at least I knew of the solicit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding that more and more because doing the TV show, I know what
these
books are supposed
to
be.
That's something you need to talk to them about. It's hard for you to
That's the
sell
creators.
A book
yeah.
With...
It was that, it was Dark and Bloody. It was the new Vertigo one that came out today.
Okay.
And it was very good, but in no way explained what the book was going to be about. It was just introducing...
It was a prelude issue.
Yeah, exactly. It was introducing you to all the characters, but on its own, there wasn't a lot there. Nothing made sense. It was good, but...
But not something...
It's going to... It clearly was chapter one, and you're meant to... it's going to read great as a trade.
Yeah.
But in issues,
that's not,
it's a little confusing.
That's not great to hook new readers.
No. But, yeah, so that was that.
All right.
Thanks for your help on the Superman books.
Hey, no problem, pal.
Okay.
So, Swamp Thing, number 2 of 6. I enjoyed this issue better than the first one.
Okay, you guys weren't real high on that first one.
Well, I love the recent Swamp Thing run so much, and that first one kind of seemed like a, very generic Swamp Thing story.
Okay.
And this one still is kind of a generic Swamp Thing story.
Injustice.
It was good. It was good. It felt very safe. That's all.
Okay.
This one, so he's trying to stop this zombie that's been kind of terrorizing the campus of Crowley College in Louisiana. And he's finding out more and more details about who the zombie is. And it looked like he was this student who was involved with this... project at school where they were trying to revive things, and it looked like he was brought back to life through a part of that project, and he was taking out revenge on people that were involved that did that to him. So Swamp Thing seeks out help from some of the characters from the dark side of the DC universe to figure out how to stop this zombie. And then we get more details. We find out actually his the kid's parents were involved in him in bringing him back, and they use these spells, and just a lot more involved than what originally thought. And the whole thing is really him, confronting this zombie character in a big drawn out fight. And you get to see Swamp Thing creatively use some of his abilities. And it was good. It has a real classic horror vibe to it.
Okay.
It's not scary like some of the current very gory horror books would be, but it felt like an older horror movie. It was fun. The art is great. It's more of a classic looking Swamp Thing rather than what we've had recently. But no, I enjoyed it. I think when it's all said and done, this will be a nice trade. Captain Marvel, number 2. So
the first page.
Yeah.
This was actually pretty good.
I was surprised you got it.
Really?
I thought you'd said you didn't care for number 1 that much.
It was okay. I cared for it enough to keep reading it, although I almost jumped off because it was an every other week book, and I'm not a huge fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
So out of principle, I almost didn't pick it up. But I decided to pick it up. It picks up right where the previous one left off, where this ship kind of attacks their station, where it just shows up and if I recall correctly, it looks like it was ramming into the station from the first issue. So it's her and the squad from Alpha Flight going to investigate the ship. And it felt very much like a, you know, 80s sci-fi okay. horror movie, or kind of like sci-fi novels like Rendezvous with Rama or Sphere, where you have, you know, this group of explorers going through this dilapidated, you know,
right.
ship yep. where everything's yep. powered down, and they're hearing weird noises and sensing things moving around, but they can't tell what's going on, and they have to separate. And it was very atmospheric book, okay. and it played off, you know, kind of nicely. And they're discovering there's organic matter, and the ship is extremely advanced, and there's some insignia there that point to it being Kree, including it has the giant Holostar on it that she also has as her emblem on her chest, and that their space station is shaped like after her emblem. So we're seeing ties to possibly her, and it's, you know, awfully coincidental that the ship, you know, with this symbol came to this Alpha Flight station that is commanded by Captain Marvel, who has these ties. And they find these organic like mucus creature things that are just happen to be there, but they're not doing anything. They're still alive, and you know, they get covered, and it's just playing up very sci-fi-ish until they finally power the station on and all these defenses kick in and attack all the Captain Marvel and Puck and the rest of her crew. And whatever they did through the attack, they managed to really damage Captain Marvel herself, and when they get back to the station, she's all cut up and bleeding, and then suddenly collapses. So it was interesting. It was a lot of fun. Like up through their exploration, the way it tied back to all these movies, and it was very referential, these movies as well. Like with her, you know, internal dialogue, her monologue. But it was good. I liked it. The only thing I'm worried about with this book is when we get to Civil War II. If this book gets derailed and gets wrapped up with that, I probably will drop it at that point, just because I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about.
No,
I'm very much over events, Marvel events, yeah. to begin with, and I really don't care about just rehashing a previous event yeah. and making it a sequel or whatever, a spinoff. I couldn't.
It's gonna be totally different, man.
I won't know because I won't be reading it. Batman Beyond number 9. So this was good. This has Matt exploring Metropolis, and Tim Drake has to go off the grid to try and find him. Metropolis, which was once, you know, the beacon,
yeah.
is now kind of like the wasteland. It's kind of funny seeing that Gotham City is now...
It's one that survived.
It's thought about as a paradise. Like, you have all these refugees seeking out Gotham City, thinking that it's a paradise behind these walls. And you have Gotham City turning people away, and armed guards up on the walls around the city, ready to open fire on people to keep them away because they don't have enough resources to, you know, give to their own citizens, let alone bring new people in. And... Luke Fox is the mayor of Gotham City.
Okay.
So you have Drake trying to find Matt, and Matt has what looks like the arm of a dead Green Lantern that he's carrying with him. And we don't know quite what his mission is, but he finds the watchtower
okay.
that's, you know,
it crashed.
and is laying there in Metropolis. And as he's exploring, gets closer, suddenly the Green Lantern ring that he's carrying kicks into action and seeks out
a new
wielder. And we get introduced to the Splicers through this issue. And as he goes into the Watchtower, we find out that the Justice League of that era is still alive and in stasis in the Watchtower.
Okay.
So it's kind of a, you know, nice cliffhanger to leave it on. But it was good. I've really, ever since this book finished up with Brother Eye and finally put Future's End behind it,
mm-hmm.
it really picked up and has been very enjoyable. Because I was on the verge of dropping it when it was still just, you know, continuation of Future's End.
But,
yeah, but once it stopped with that, it became a pretty, pretty solid book. And I think that's it. Unless you want to talk about Batman, Robin, Eternal, but I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about that.
Yeah, the big thing with that is we get to see who the child was that Mother was going after to be the new Robin.
Yeah. Which, that to me didn't make a whole lot of sense. It seemed like
There were a lot of plot holes in it. Well, timeline...
Because Dick is probably, 8-9 years older, I would say, than Harper.
Yeah, we've never found out exactly how old she is, but I've always felt like she was... I felt like she was younger than Tim, or maybe around the same age as Tim.
Yeah.
But it depends. Depending on what book you see her in, she's drawn very differently. So the age could... And she's been taking care of her brother, so maybe she is older.
Yeah, but even that, and I guess also, if you go off New 52 continuity, where he's only been Batman for, so many years, I could see how that would work. But I always picture Dick as being, late 20s,
mm-hmm.
and Harper being, at most, early 20s. So, there's, the timeline just didn't match for me. But, that's okay.
My biggest issue with this... Obviously, if you haven't caught on, Harper's the one that was targeted by Mother. So Mother sent an assassin to take out Harper's parents, so that way Harper would...
Cassandra.
Yeah, I was easing into it.
No, don't ease into that one.
It's going full...
One has... Because that's... they're besties now.
So Cassandra was sent to kill Harper's parents back during her training, which she did reluctantly. Like, you saw... Because you're seeing footage, archival footage of it, and you could see, as she's doing it, there's tears,
But she killed her mom, but her dad escaped.
The dad got away.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dad ran and left the mom for dead, because he's a scumbag. But, Harper's mom got killed by Cassandra, and Orphan is telling Harper all of this, and at the same time, Who were the...
They were back at Spiral.
Yeah, Spiral. They're front at Spiral.
But it's the Spiral School.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Saints. I forget the name of the school, but it doesn't matter. My biggest issue is the whole backstory with Harper kind of ignored the entire fact that she had a brother, a younger brother. It almost played out like he didn't exist.
No, I thought she... Didn't she mention something about her brother?
Not in this issue.
I thought she did.
No.
Okay.
She didn't say much. Her dialogue is mostly...
No!
No! No!
Yeah. It had some art issues.
Yeah.
Back at when they were in Spiral, the faces were kind of weird. Yeah. And it, even from panel to panel sometimes, especially Grayson.
The art has not been the strong suit on these weekly books, because they can't have one person do the entire issue somehow.
Well, no, but it wasn't I don't like the way this guy draws Dick Grayson. It was it might have been the position that he was in or whatever, but, the face was all, ugh. And I was like, okay.
Simple Jack.
Yeah, exactly. He went... And that was the problem.
I was trying to be subtle with Simple Jack.
I don't do subtle. Had you not noticed that?
So that's the big, I guess, the big secret, Batman's dark secret, in that he, caused Harper Row's mother to inadvertently cause her mother to be killed. But then also, Batman was told who it was that they were going after at the very, at the very end, whenever he defeated Mother and Orphan in the past. They said who it was, and they, gave him the option, or they told him who it was, to see if he would actually go in and do anything about it, or take her and train her, now mm-hmm. that she's been, primed. And he never did anything. He never went and... helped her out, or helped them in their situation, even, anonymously.
Yeah.
Everything, so.
Which I, that part I thought was kind of messed up. But
it is kind of messed up, and it doesn't seem very Bruce-like.
Right. Yeah, I mean, forget about Batman. I would, as Bruce, he would have done something.
He just
kind of,
left
help.
Her,
Yeah. He may not have taken her in and her brother's award.
No, but you think he would have done something to, you know, help their situation out, considering he kind of caused it, but he didn't. So hopefully find out why exactly.
Yeah, otherwise that's a pretty big plot thread.
But kind of going all the way back to the very beginning of the New 52,
mm-hmm.
I think it was issue 5 of Batman, whenever Harper kind of, you know, helps him.
I know it wasn't 4 because that's the one I'm missing.
Whenever Harper saves his ass.
Yeah.
And he, you know, is very adamant about her, like, getting away from him, leaving him alone.
Yeah.
Which before I thought it was just him, you know, he's just curmudgeonly Batman. But now, you know,
it makes more
he
sense.
Knew who she was and there was a history there. So maybe he just didn't want to face it. But it was good. I think we all knew it was going in that direction. There was going to be Harper. But it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Only 7 issues left?
Something like that, yeah.
8?
I forget what's... Yeah, I don't know what's today.
I think 8 issues left.
Because that's going to 26.
Oh, maybe 9.
Well, that would make sense then, because it'll all wrap up.
Right.
Yeah, it'll all wrap up at the same time with 52 and the Rebirth.
Yeah, I was thinking it was just going to 25. Maybe you're right. That's it.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's it, Kyle.
That's it.
Come on, man.
Wow, it's crazy. We are moving along. So next week, we will have, for Dave, Archie number 6.
But not for anyone else?
Yeah. Well, for anyone else, but Dave in particular. Dave's the Archie guy. Okay. We have Avengers Standoff, Welcome to Pleasant Hill number 1. Oh, we're supposed to have a party. Oh, dear.
Is it Pleasant Hill?
You're not even going to be here. How can we have a party if you're not here? Maybe we'll have a party because you're not here.
Uh-oh.
That seems like piss-poor planning.
You look perplexed.
Read the line above Avengers Standoff that I highlighted. What's the line above that say?
3 promotional copies.
Well, above that.
Oh. Avengers Standoff, invite party postcards, bundle of free promotional copies.
Yeah, so I'm getting the postcards to invite you to the Avengers Standoff party.
The same day as the...
Yeah, you seen a problem with that? It's like when we get the promo posters the week after the book shipped. Yeah. So I guess we're not having a party, especially because I won't be here. But yeah, the party invite poster cards are coming the exact same day as the
Avengers Complete party. Collection by Geoff Johns.
Yes. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 and 2 second prints, because I know I sold out quick and a lot of people have been asking. Those are finally coming. Bill and Ted Go to Hell, number 1.
Okay, fine. Station.
We have Deadpool and Cable Split Second number 3, Devolution number 1. This one I'm intrigued and want.
That's the Rick Remender one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Doom Patrol trade paperback book 1. They're reprinting the Morrison Doom Patrol run, which I've always wanted to read. We have Grumpy Cat and Pokey number 1, and Harley Quinn 25, Huck number 4, I Hate Fairyland number 5, Imperium 13, Lucifer number 3. Mighty Thor number 4, Power Man and Iron Fist number 1. It was funny, somebody asked me if I was getting the variants, and I laughed. And I said, no, I think...
How many people asked to hold that?
I said, I think I'm actually getting as many copies of the book as there are variants. And I was close. I'm getting 10 copies, and there are 9 variant covers to this book. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2, finally.
That could be the best book in the world, but the art. It's horrible.
Yeah. Silver Surfer number 2. Snowfall number 1, which is an interesting one from Image. Just the premise of that one is interesting. There was they messed up the climate so bad that it can't snow anymore, and this guy who has the powers decides to
let it go.
Pay back the earth. So Star Wars 16, Starve number 6, which I think is the new next.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
The next story arc is starting in that. Superman American Alien 4. That I'm really enjoying. Symmetry number 3. I haven't read 2 yet, but I really like number 1. Titans Hunt number 5. Uncanny Inhumans number 5. Wonder Woman 49. That's for you, Josh. This is for you. Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 4.
That's for you, Josh.
That's for you,
not
Josh.
Not for you or for me or Dave.
Nope. Just for Josh. You. Well, Josh is the valiant guy.
Yeah. That's right. I am.
You know, if I had to pick a valiant guy here, that would be Josh. If I had to pick an Archie guy here... It'd be Dave.
Your valiant guy used to be someone else.
It did, and then he decided he didn't want all the covers anymore.
I don't get all the covers.
I know, but
Well, okay. He's...
You promote it.
If he is the Valiant guy and he's the Archie guy...
You're the angry guy.
You're the dick.
I can live with that.
I didn't say that. You said
that. I'm aware. I'm the one that said it.
I know. I'm saying. Don't blame me. Don't write the store. Write Josh.
I didn't call the listener that.
You called
me
that.
I know. Yeah. But if they're offended that you would say that about Pat, well, how do you know there aren't people listening and they have the favorite one of us and they root for us throughout the podcast? And what if Pat's guys, now they're mad that you called them
any
that?
Any easily offended listeners already started writing after Pat's comment a little bit ago. So
true. That's true.
Very true.
My
very
comment true. Wouldn't even be heard
I'm
by
like,
them.
Do I have to edit this episode? Do I actually have to go through and find that? I might have to.
Why?
And then just sit there and go, beep!
You never go full hot sausage.
Oh, Pat, it's not Philly, Pat.
I didn't say that it was.
I'm saying we don't talk like that out here.
I've said much worse on this podcast.
Not that I remember.
Yeah, I have. I've snuck a few in that I'm kind of
proud of.
Okay, so as always, well, not always. You can't always find me here because I'm not always here.
Yeah, because on Wednesday you won't be here.
Wednesday through Saturday, I will not be here.
Who will be here?
Which
in your
make
place?
People go, "Where's Colin? What's Colin? What's going on?" My brother-in-law Dan will be here, and new guy Tim will be here, and Adam might be here too.
New guy Tim will be here.
What?
And new guy Tim will be here.
Yeah. So they'll be here. I mean, the store will be open. Plenty to buy. Next week is going to be C&P. So plenty of good. Books in those
I'll
categories.
I'm sure it's posted for you.
Thanks, preach.
All the Punisher stuff.
Punisher, Captains. There's lots of captains out there. Yeah.
Captain Carrot?
You can get Captain Carrot.
Captain Kangaroo?
No, there's no Captain Kangaroo books. Sorry.
That'd be awesome. Mr. Green Jeans and the Moose. Dropping ping pong balls.
Punisher.
That was hilarious.
So, but you can all, I will be checking my mail, so you can always reach me via email. You can reach me on Facebook and Twitter, Pittsburgh Comics and PGH Comics, respectively. The website, pittsburghcomics.com. So,
you can now navigate through it again?
Again, yes. Josh has fixed the problem with a hammer and a screwdriver. And.
Just a hammer.
Just a hammer, okay. I think that's about it. Wow, I'm going to get home in time. My wife will not be asleep by the time I get home tonight. It's going to be good.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have to buy my daughter a plane ticket to Houston.
Why?
Because she follows this one boy band or this one singer, and he's going to be at the rodeo. So she's going to go fly down and see him and stay with my sister-in-law for a weekend.
Is he performing at the
he's
rodeo?
He's performing at the rodeo, yes.
I mean, he's just attending a rodeo?
No,
and
no,
your daughter
no.
wants to be a stalker?
No, so. No, he's performing. So, but just thought it'd be fun, you know, get away. This is going to be her first time flying by herself. She's very nervous about that. So I had to fly and find a nonstop flight, which was the biggest problem.
Yeah, from here to Houston?
Yeah. Well, it was weird. Everything stopped in Dallas.
I could definitely see a teenager who's flying by themselves for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Not doing the whole...
No, no.
Well, no,
thing,
and we can take her to the gate. I guess there's some special thing for a child so they can get a pass through security, and then my sister-in-law can pick her up at the gate. So literally, it'll be sitting on the plane. You'll be fine, you know. So,
yeah, so
I flew to New York
plane.
Younger, so.
And then he got, you know.
Times were different back then.
They were.
You were an adult when you were 12.
Yeah.
That's, you know, so, people didn't last as long back in them days.
True, very true. So I'll have a fun week next week, but yeah, I will be keeping up with what's going on here and responding to questions. Just don't email me and say, "Hey, do you have?" I don't know. I'll be forwarding it on to someone to answer your response. Yeah, I don't know if it's in stock. So
you can email him. He'll just forward it.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. So
that's the podcast.
Well, we might not talk to you next week. We'll play it by ear.
You can't tell. Whenever Dave gets to say that, he has a look of sheer jubilation.
Yeah.
That's the happiest I'm ever.
Best part of the day. Yeah. So we'll talk to you next time. See ya.